This is a Lisa and Pete podcast made in Perth for Perth on Mix 94.5.
It was around about 7:30 this morning, Lisa, when my wife ran into the bedroom and said there's been a terrorist attack in the UK at Manchester Arena at the Ariana Grande concert. And slowly over the course of the day, more information has been coming through. So far, we know 22 are dead, 59 injured, and the toll continues to rise. And for more on this with the latest, we're joined by Peter Anderson, our UK correspondent. Thank you for coming on the show, Peter.
Hi, Peter.
Lisa, good afternoon. Yeah, details obviously continuing to emerge, and the scene around Manchester Arena remains confused. The figures you give are the latest we have confirmed, 22 dead, 59 hurt. We have had confirmation, though, that among those dead, there are children. And what is really quite chilling about this attack is that it took place at a concert by Ariana Grande, the artist, the American singer, who is very, very popular among younger listeners. So reports from the scene say that a huge proportion of the crowd at this concert were teenagers. Some reports saying many of the visitors were as young as 8 or 9 years old. And so we do anticipate that the dead and the injured will include a huge number of children.
Peter, when you look at the images on the television, it looks like most of the crowd are teenage girls between the age of 10 and 15. Just to get an idea, what time is it in Manchester now?
Here in the UK, it is just after 9 o'clock. This took place at 10:30 last night, so it's now 9 a.m. here. So around 10 and a half hours since the attack took place. And this attack took place just after 10:30 at night. The concert had just come to an end. Ariana Grande had gone back on stage. She had performed an encore. And it was as the crowds were beginning to leave the arena, going through the foyer, that this device went off. We've had confirmation that it was a lone attacker and it was some kind of improvised explosive device. Horrific details, though. People saying that they could see metal nuts and bolts scattered among the debris. So it does seem that this could be a device that was packed with metal shrapnel to try and inflict as much death and injury as possible.
Yes, just terrible, terrible injuries as well as death. Of course, with it happening just as the concert was ending and with the audience being so young, there would have been a lot of parents just showing up to pick up their kids. Terrifying, I imagine, as they were separated from them. Has everyone been reunited?
No, and a couple of points you raised. Yes, this happened just as people were coming to collect their children. It was also in the foyer while people were waiting to meet those who'd been into the concert, and also where a lot of the merchandising is sold. So very cynically, as people come out, stop to get their T-shirts and their other memorabilia, those people we thought were hit. One of the issues we have at the moment is because of the inevitable chaos in a venue that holds up to 21,000 people. It's Europe's second largest indoor arena. People were exiting through various means. There was panic in some areas of the arena, and inevitably many families got split up. One of the real things we're seeing at the moment is the number of messages that are being posted on notice boards, on social media, from parents and children who have been separated. At one point, there were up to 300 children who were separated from their parents, who the police were looking after, and many families still are not sure whether their loved ones, whether their partners, their children have been affected and have been caught up in this attack.
Peter, in terms of the attacker, him or herself, the Greater Manchester Police, the investigation obviously ongoing, and they've said that they are pumping as much resources as they possibly can into this investigation. Are they any further along in terms of identifying the attacker and possibly the events that led to him being the arena in the first place?
No, we don't have that detail, but some of the detail that's coming from the local police, Greater Manchester Police, for example, have described this as the most horrific incident they have ever faced. They describe it as a fast-moving investigation. One of the key priorities is to establish whether the attacker was acting alone or was part of a network. We haven't had any kind of formal responsibility claimed yet by Islamic State, by Al-Qaeda, both groups known to be looking to maximize publicity from this kind of attack across the world. But already there are comments being posted online by supporters of those two groups applauding, reveling in this attack. Many Sikh comments, people welcoming this as another success for jihadists. But at the moment, we haven't had confirmation from the police, and substantially, we haven't had any organized group actually saying that they are behind this. I think it's only a matter of time before we do get those claims. What we then won't know is whether they are genuine claims or it's just in a sick way somebody trying to claim responsibility and gain glory, as they see it, from this kind of barbaric act.
There are all sorts of people out there.
All right, Peter.
Thank you, Peter.
Thank you, Peter Anderson, our UK correspondent. Appreciate it. Thank you, mate.
Guys, thank you.
Thank you.
Our latest update from the Manchester Arena attack that happened earlier this morning. 22 have been confirmed dead and 59 injured in what has been an absolutely horrendous day at an Ariana Grande concert.
It has. And as we speak, there are some families that are still separated from their children who they were picking up from the concert. It's an awful time.
I think the hardest part that, you know, as I myself heard the information coming through, the hardest part I think that I was trying to wrestle with the fact that it was children. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's not a thing that should happen to anybody or that anybody should have to endure. But, you know, particularly for the children who have passed away today, the children who were injured and the children who were just in the vicinity who would have the
images,
noises,
that,
the
that
smells,
will never
the
get out of their head.
Never for
and
the
I,
rest I've, of their lives.
I heard a couple speak this morning, a couple of parents talking about how it was the first concert they've ever taken their kids to. Very exciting, turned into absolute horror.
So some of the other things that we do know or have come through, police say a lone man detonated an improvised explosive device and died in the blast. The other things that we've heard about the device itself is that there were nuts and bolts strewn around the arena.
They go for maximum hurt.
Yeah, they do.
You know,
do.
Who they can't kill, they want to seriously maim. It's just, there are no words.
Even more harrowing is the actual audio that's been trickling out of the arena from the videos that obviously these kids were taking at the time, just as the Ariana Grande concert finished. Here's some of the audio just as the explosion went off.
Oh my God. What just happened? What's going on?
And from that video, the video goes on for a bit more and you just see the trickle of screams getting louder as it comes towards these kids who are filming that.
And as they wonder what to do, I mean, you can imagine what it's like getting out of a packed stadium when everyone wants to go. And in fact, I was amazed at how orderly they did manage to do it.
Yeah. The other thing, of course, as you mentioned, Lise, was that there were people who were coming there to pick up their kids and their families.
It was the last
well.
Song, so, you know.
One of those people is Andy Holley, who was knocked down by the blast as he was picking up his family.
I didn't go to concert, my wife and daughter did, so I was waiting up at the first set of white doors. As I was waiting, an explosion went off and it threw me through the first set of doors, about 30 foot to the next set of doors. When I got up and looked round, there was about 30 people scattered everywhere. Some of them looked dead, might have been unconscious, but there was a lot of fatalities. So my first thing was to run in the stadium, try and find my wife and daughter. When I couldn't find them, I went back out, and with the police and the fire and ambulance, whoever was there, I looked at some of the bodies trying to find my family. Luckily, they weren't there. Managed to find them outside the arena and got them back to the hotel with them.
One of the lucky ones, eh?
Can you imagine the sheer panic of that period of time until you did find them would be, I can't imagine, horrible.
Mm-hmm. The other thing, Ariana Grande has announced that she suspended her tour indefinitely.
Yep, she's obviously extraordinarily distraught. It's certainly not what you expect. She was seven shows into her UK and European tour.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, many people around the world condemning the attack, as they would, and, of course, reporting on it. James Corden was filming his popular show at the time that the news broke.
Many of you won't have ever been to Manchester, but you will definitely have heard of it. It's famous all over the world for so many wonderful things. Great football teams, for incredible music, Oasis and Joy Division, the birthplace of the leader of the suffragettes. It's the home of the inventor of the first computer. It's a place full of comedy and curries and character. But when I think of Manchester, the place that I know, I think of the spirit of the people there. And I'm telling you, a more tight-knit group of people you will be hard-pressed to find. Strong, proud, caring people with community at its core. And if it was even possible, the spirit of the people of Manchester will grow even stronger this evening. We'll all go to bed, holding our little ones even tighter.
He's quite right. I mean, we've heard of, when we spoke earlier to our UK correspondent, we've heard of some fairly untasteful things that have been posted online. But as always, good tends to prevail. The hashtag Room for Manchester began trending immediately after the incident. People offering their couches, their homes, their cups of tea and a lift home from the concert. Taxis were giving people a lift, you know, away from the area.
Mm-hmm.
It always is that way.
You see, it's funny. It's such a balancing act because you in the worst of humanity and the best of humanity you see at these times, you know?
Yeah.
Please be advised the following radio segment is designed for people who have televisions, people who watch television programs in their homes, on their computers, or on electric telephone devices. Lisa and Pete would like to remind you this isn't just Talkin' Telly, this is Justin Hamilton. Talkin' Telly.
And in to review the latest in TV, yet another season of House Rules, Justin Hamilton.
Finally. Like, I'm so glad because the last season left so many questions in the air and I was really curious to see how they'd answer them this season. And I tell you what, in Australia, we seem to love shows about people making food, people making houses, or people making poor life decisions by appearing on shows about making relationships. And then if you really want the ratings to soar, you combine two of these ideas. So couples making food together, who then have a meltdown, couples making homes together, who then have a meltdown. And I reckon if we could combine the three, we'd be in for a ratings juggernaut. I suggest the Bachelorette Gingerbread House, where women have to make a house out of snacks while having to decide which ginger they'll date. And we'll get Ed Sheeran to make the music. We'll film it in Melbourne, where people with fair skin are less likely to burst into flames. So that is my proposal to make some serious coin here.
Been quite the weekend for you, hasn't it?
Look, these are the thoughts that sift through my head while I'm watching something like House Rules. And in the latest episode, I watched a bunch of contestants who are all working on turning one man's bachelor pad into a home that he could start a family in. And since it's referred to as a bachelor pad, I'm certain he's probably done his best to turn it into a family home many times over the years. But this time he's concentrating on the house part, and I respect that. So with the contestants having to work on different sections of the house, it obviously led to issues for everyone, ranging from all the young people fighting with the two old ladies to some of the young people not being able to see eye to eye within their own duo. From the moment the voiceover said Fiona and Nicole were spewing, I thought maybe we were just going to go full Bogan and really enjoy House Rules for what it is. You know, a bunch of people I would never hang out with working together to make a home I would never visit. I thought, this is great. You've gone the full hog. You've gone the full Bogan. This is great. And it turns out that I was completely on the money, but that piece of meta voiceover was where the fun started and ended. I would have just been rapt if it was all that kind of stuff. I would have loved to have heard the voiceover woman just giving a bit of, cooey, cobber, what's going on over here? Crack open some tinnies. I just go the full Bogan. Like, in this latest one, you take a South Australian couple, Kate and Harry, and Harry rejects Kate's suggestion of some nice artwork for the house because he has a vision where he's going to drill holes into a V8 tyre and place veggies and plants in them. He thinks this is the centrepiece of all the work they're doing on the house. Could you imagine that? Check out my V8 tyre and then you pull out a carrot. Like, I don't think anyone would be up for that. I'd even hazard a guess that a Bogan drinking beer, eating a sausage and bread covered in sauce with the footy on in the background, some horse racing on the wireless and the sounds of cold chisel playing in the lounge room would look at this tyre and go, yeah, I reckon that's too much. And the person who owned the house, you know what he said when he saw it?
What?
Nah. It's too much.
Yeah.
he didn't like it.
You know what? You know, I'll just say, there's been one thing about this season. I don't know why. It feels like the producers have whispered in all the contestants' ears to be really unhappy with the stuff that they get.
Like, yes.
Particularly that first couple, the two women whose house was bulldozed. If you lived in a shack and came back to a 4x2 absolute mansion, you'd be pretty bloody. Oh, no, I don't like that.
Everyone seems to really hate what's being presented to them. So, look, this is not for me. House Rules, Channel 7, Monday to Wednesday, 7:30 p.m. No thumbs ordering a rum and coke for breakfast.
Mix 94.5's Lisa and Pete, made in Perth. Join them weekday arvos from 4 on Mix 94.5.